We appreciate the worship team just now to lead us to come to the presence of the Lord. And, you know, the last song talked about what a friend we have like Jesus. Yes, so true. You know, we come here today, we are not just have a religious activity. We come to interact with Jesus, right? We listen to him through the sermon, listen to him through the worship, interact with him. It's a heart-to-heart relationship. You know, on the bulletin, if you don't have bulletin, you raise your hands. Our archer can help you. You're still in serving right now, okay? If you need a bulletin, please raise your hand, because we do have some scripture on the bulletin. It's very helpful also. You're very important. Very good delivery. Anyone else? If you don't, you share, yeah. Do you still have one gift to people? Yeah, okay. On the bulletin, on the right-hand side of the bulletin, there's a thing of this year, right? Do you see it? Yeah, a thing of this year. Can we read together? A year of a turning around, arise and shine. There's scripture there too, Isaiah 61, 3 to 4, and verse 7. Really? We come to a season in the kingdom of God. We come to a season in our life. We really need to turn around. Amen? Amen? We need to turn around. It starts with ourselves. Any turnaround starts with heart, right? The heart, your emotion, your desire. Amen? You desire the Lord. That's why you come today. Early in the morning, you know, I asked Irene, they came here early to practice, to lead us. We praise the Lord for that. As every contribution, we have a service here. Right now, I want to share with you the blessing for you for this year is God promised this will be a turning around year. However, the turning around needs to start with our heart. It starts our desire. And this morning, I will share about secret of victory. You know, we live in the very stressful time. We don't need to mention about with the grand picture. You know, we're facing potential nuclear attack from North Korea. Even sometimes you think that's a joke, but that's a reality right now. And also that we face possible terrorist attack and killing, you know, any time. We don't know. Also, we see the extreme weather, right? Extreme weather. You know, in the northern eastern, it's very cold, even Midwest. There was a young man last night. He will fly to Indiana last night. And I say, well, how was the temperature there? He just came back. He says, minus 30-something Fahrenheit. It's very cold. Also, because extreme weather, right, caused extreme condition, like wildfire in the Napa area and also wildfire in the Southern California. Also, in this recently, I just get a notification, different sources, you know, our friends or Quentin, Marlins, you know, just people got cancer or different situations. So it's kind of stressful in the grand picture. Also, with the personal note, on the personal level, you know, we live in the high cost, living cost area, Bay Area, right? It's pretty expensive. The tax is very high. And the long commute and the deadline for project responsibility or parenting all add up. So we need a power from within. Amen? Don't think this is a sermon. I'm dialogue with you now. We need a power from within. We need the energy. We need the strength. We need the power. We need the inspiration from inside. Rather just try to survive. Say, how are you today? Still breathing. Still living. Sometimes that's how I feel. But we don't have to be there that way. We need the inner peace and strength to overcome all kinds of challenges. We need to be on top of that. And today, when I start with the first sermon, first message about a year of turning around, I like to lead you. We go into a journey together about the secret of victory. How can we be victorious? Amen. It's not easy, but there's a way. And In Psalm 91, the psalmist depicts the promise for those who trust in the Lord. It's a wonderful song, particularly in the time like this. Give you all the promises in Psalm 91. However, in the verse 1 particularly, he shared the secret of victory to counter all stresses. He said that whoever dwell in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of Almighty. Isn't that true? Nowadays, people need rest. People need true rest. You can sleep. You can try to be relaxed, but you cannot rest. But the psalmist say, whoever dwell in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. It talks about whoever dwell in the house of God will rest in the shadow of God. So you ask, what does dwell in the shelter of the Most High mean? It means you live in the God's house. What does that mean? Does that mean you have to move to CCQ here? You have to live here? No. God's house is not just a building there, right? In today, in the New Testament, God's house is you, right? You are God's temple. Is that right? Amen. In other words, you need to live in the presence of God. God need to be in this house, you, Devon. God need to be here with you. Then you got a provision, you got a guidance, you got a protection, etc., etc. Then you have a peace. Amen? Amen. That's what we offered a course last year about becoming what God intended. It's really to teach us, to learn. It's not just some information. It's some truth to really we continue to dig into the Word and memorize and watch the teaching and the interact to know you are a child of God. That's the true identity. This is not easy, okay? You live in the shelter of Most High. Why you live in the shelter of Most High? Because He's your daddy. Amen? If we have a responsible daddy to provide everything, we have peace. The peace starts from within. Amen? Need a harmony. If we anxious anxiety with the anxiety, it's very hard. And also, in the verse 2, the psalmist declared, because he had that experience, he declared, the Lord is his refuge, his fortress, his God in whom he trusts. And also, in the result of that, he described the benefit from verse 3 to verse 8. May we read that together? And the Psalm 91, verse 3 through 8. Okay. Surely he will save you from the fowls of snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wing you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right side, but you will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. And we just read until there. It seems like the psalmist describes something when we face the natural disaster or whatever the situation, the Lord will protect you and me who those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High. Do you believe that? So he lists that benefit there. And that's very important. But that's not the motivation for us to dwell in the shelter of Most High. That's the benefit you will have when you continue live in God's house. In other words, God continue to live in you. Amen? Amen. So maybe you ask, how can I dwell in the house of the Most High? How? It's interesting, when you come to the New Testament Gospel of John chapter 15, Jesus instructs us how to dwell in the shelter of the Most High concretely, and that is remaining in Christ is the secret. Remaining in Christ. It's kind of interesting. Yesterday we have an English prayer meeting. Minister Joni led us. It's about John chapter 15, about the vine and the branches. My point is, dear brother and sister, we need to be connect with the source. The Lord Most High is Jesus. We need to connect with Him. Our connection will determine our lifestyle, determine the quality of life. Do you believe that? Can you smile at me a little bit? I know we had a party last night. Many people are tired. You know, I saw the young people, they are dozing. But right now is the time to connect. And in John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5, Jesus shared with his disciples, he said, remain in me as I also remain in you. In other version, it says, abide in me and I also abide in you. In other words, you dwell in me and I also dwell in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Maybe you say, oh, what this remain, this dwelling? Jesus tried to say is, he spoke to his disciple. He speak to you and me today. He said, I know. So and so, I know. You have a busy life. I know you have a deadline for your project. I know you have many things in your life. But the most important thing, dear brother and sister, Jesus say, you need to connect with me.
That's right.
You need to connect with me. I think you are convinced. We must remain in Christ. And Jesus used a familiar image in Palestine area. That's the vine. Jesus say, I am the vine. You are the branches. Dear brother and sister, we pause here. Think about that. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. And that's the problem. Many people, they don't know this truth. So they just work hard to please God. Many people who know this truth because the pressure of life, because continue serving the Lord, so worn out, they forgot. They thought they are the vine. Jesus is the branches, which is very burdensome, right? If you are the vine, you're responsible for result. You're responsible for your life. Many area. Amen?
Amen?
If you go with me, when I'm preaching this, I'm sharing with you, you start to feel the burden depart from you. Amen? He is the vine. Vine is the one provide everything. Is that right?
Right.
Agree? It's not easy. Gradually get into it. It's a year of turning around, a year of transformation. The mindset had to be changed. You can give the burden to Jesus even at this moment, even before we participate in the Holy Communion. Say, Lord, you're the vine. You're the one support me. I'm the branches. Amen? And Jesus mentioned about that we had to continue remain in Him. And also he pointed out, without remaining in Christ, lead one to wither. John 15, 5 to 6, apart from me, you can do nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. Nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. Without connecting with the source of life, we can do nothing. Do you think Jesus was too extreme? I don't think you got to agree with Jesus, though. He said, but Joseph, without connect with him, I still do a lot of things. That's what Jesus said. Without connect with me, you will accomplish, apart from me, you accomplish nothing. I think that's the tension there. Maybe from your perspective, you accomplish a lot of things. So today I also want to invite you to have a paradigm shift about your life, dear brothers and sisters. We need to be kingdom mindset. It's not just to survive, meet deadline, quarters, etc. Amen? Why do we live in this world? Think about that. There's the two pictures, right? One is the eternal picture. That's the question you ask. Why the world God let me live in this world? Why he give you life for this? We know that, right? The great commandment to love God with the whole person and love your neighbor as yourself. And when you go out and start to share that, that's called a great commission. And that's the eternal picture, why we live in this world. And then there's a big picture, what kind of season, where are we at right now for the kingdom of God in the human history? Where are we right now? That's very important. Because whenever we have the Holy Communion, you go back to see how Jesus established the Holy Communion. He reminded them they had to participate in this until he will return. Dear brother and sister, Jesus is coming back. Do you know that? And he come back, expect a glorious church. You know that? It's not just a weak, try to survive, so hard church. So these two questions, I'd like to invite you to think about. Jesus said, you abide in me, connect with me. Doesn't mean, oh, so your life will be easy, kids will be good, income will increase, you'll be healthy, etc. What's for? Jesus said that when you connect with me, then you start to have my mindset, my heart, my feeling. Amen? And Jesus also say that. He say, without connect to me, you will be withered. The withered doesn't mean you're not successful. You may be very busy and do many things, but your heart's very dry. You don't have excitement. If you ask any person on the street, you say, what do you like? They always say, I want to be happy. Right? Do you want to be happy? I think God wanted your life full of joy and excitement. But you need to be connected with this full of joy, excitement, God. You need to see things now through his eyes. And that's what Jesus tried to say. If you remain in him, connect with him, you'll bear much fruits. You'll bear much fruits. If you don't, you're dry. That's why he say, when you remain in Christ, it leads to fruitfulness. Jesus say here in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. What kind of much fruit will be? It's a couple of ways. First is the dynamic life impact others for the kingdom. John 15:8 say, this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. I think that when we connect with Christ, it shows in our life, our influence in our life, in our deeds, in our words, in our marketplace. People will know that. People will start to ask you why you can have this kind of life. And also, when we connect with Christ, leads to the fruitfulness. The second thing is we will have the kingdom mindset prayer. John 15:7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, and whatever you wish, it will be done for you. A lot of people love the last part. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Wow. Pastor Joseph, I did that, but it doesn't work. I asked, but it wasn't grand for me. But the important is the first part too, right? If you remain in me, and my words remain in you. In disciple time, it was Jesus' instruction in them. You think about God's words, right? The reason we try to learn, become what God intended, because in there's a lot of truth talk about Jesus' teaching about who you are. Isn't that important? When I know, I'm precious. I'm real precious. And that God take care of me, and when my prayer will be different. Right? You won't say, oh God, please help me. Give me some money. Give me good rest. God said, already I'm your rest. Don't you see that? It's very important. So this quickly, I think my sermon today is so smooth. So he quickly come to people who will say, how can I dwell in the shelter of the Most High? The same thing, how can I remain in Christ? How can I dwell in him and for him to dwell in me? How can I be connected? First thing is, I already mentioned, you had to remain in God's words. In John 15:3, Jesus said, you are already clean because the word I have spoken to you. It's very interesting. When we preserve, we keep God's words in our heart, it cleanses us. It aligns us. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes you are so anxious about something, anxious about certain things, but if you have the word of God, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be. You lack nothing, including anything you're concerned about right now. You can continue to meditate on that, right? Isn't that correct us? No, you say, no, Lord, I lack of this. I lack of that. You lack nothing if the Lord is your shepherd. If Jesus is my shepherd, your shepherd, can you say amen? You lack nothing. You have to start to declare this. But we always say, but. There's no but. The reality is something you had to bring this word through your life to break through into. Does God heal? But you say, but. There's no but. This is the year God is turning around. I'm going to lead you to the Isaiah 61 in our Holy Communion time. I will invite you to meditate on the God's words. Oh, let God's word to speak to each one of you. Some of you can stand up to share. Is that cool? Yeah, thank you. I like this listener. He responds to me. Wonderful. I think the first thing, if we want to remain in Christ, we need to remain in God's words. In other words, there's no shortcut. In other words, we do need to read his words on a daily basis. Then come to the issue, do you have a reading plan? Do you have you just flit to wherever every day like that? That's not the right way. That's kind of fortune-telling way. Revelation chapter 1. No, you have to systematically to read the word of God, and God will speak to you on a daily basis. And you feel with that. You feel really positive, Paul, every day, even though it's a stressful time. Amen?
Amen?
The second thing, remain in Christ, is you have to keep in Christ's commandment. That's kind of interesting. We have to read this together. How about that? John chapter 15, verse 9 to 10. Okay, let's read together. I expect everybody open mouth to read this, okay? This speak to you, okay? Okay, 1, 2, 3. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. So Jesus said, you remain in my love. But how can I remain in his love? If you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Sometimes we say, oh, I pray. I will dwell in Christ's love, dwell in God's love. You know, I won't dwell in his love. It seems like very vague. How can you dwell in God's love? Jesus said, you just do my command. Is that simple? Very specific. How can you know Christ's command? Then you have to read his words. Amen? A lot of people say, oh, I just pray. Pastor Joseph, I pray. You know, I pray the Spirit fill me. That's very good, but it's not enough. You need to know how to pray. You need the God's word to nurture you. Amen? In a sense, God always wants us to return to the foundation, the basic, is connect with him. I feel this is so crucial. So when we remain in God's words, we commit, start to daily to keeping Christ's commands, we connect with Him. When you connect with Christ, you know it. You feel different. You sense different. You act different. You respond to people different. Amen?
Amen.
I really mean it. And this is a rather a challenging week for me. On the January 2nd morning, I got a text from my daughter, Christina. She has been pregnant, you know, for 4 months. And January 2nd, the day she tried to find out, verify the gender of baby, we were waiting, and then I got a text, pretty shocking news. The baby found was dead. The hobby was stopped, and because some defect, you know, health defect. And so it's very hard for Christina, and for that's also why Marlene stayed behind and to help them. And Thursday night, I think the midwife accompanied Christina and CJ. They took the baby out. It was a baby girl, resembling to my younger granddaughter, Nikki. So it's a emotionally very challenging time. And also on January 4th, my spiritual father, you know, Reverend Thomas Wynn, passed away. I think more than a week ago, I think he fell, hit his head, and there was kind of brain bleeding, and one thing led to another, so he passed away. So it's not easy, internal emotion, you know, you had to deal with all the reality of life. And I practice what I share with you. I abide in the Lord. I connect with the Lord. And the Lord start to comfort me. You know, sometimes the best comfort is not just what the words say only. It's God's presence come. Did you have that experience? Anyone, did you have that experience? The situation is still the same, but you feel differently. Amen? Then you start to understand what the Psalm 91 say. Those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the Almighty, right? The refuge of Almighty. There's a rest come in. And this morning, before we have the Holy Communion, I'd like to invite our congregation. We read a certain scripture. We can practice this to remain in God's words, connect with Him, and let Him to speak to us, to refresh us. For whatever your situation is, we see how it goes. How about that? And Isaiah 61, I'd like to invite you to read Isaiah 61. 1 to 4 and 7. And if, thank you. If you have your Bible with you, you can read. You don't have to read over there because there's quite a paragraph there. And it's the NIV version. Yeah. Okay, Isaiah 61. We read the verse 1 through 4 and then verse 7. I will share with you a little bit before the Holy Communion. Okay, let's read together. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the broken heart, proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening the prison to them that are bound, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them the mourn in Zion, to give unto them beautiful ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now verse, and they shall build the old waste. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. Okay, I use the NIV version, a little bit different from this, but the meaning is the same. I think this is the scripture, Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 2. It was prophesied about the mission of the coming Messiah. You say, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Jesus read that scripture. On the one Sabbath, he went into the synagogue. They turned to there. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Isn't that wonderful? God will preach. Jesus will give the good news to you and me. He has sent me to bind up the broken heart, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all who mourn. Okay, I think that's Christ's mission. That's also church mission. That's eventually will be your and my mission. But the promise I wait upon the Lord for this year is from verse 3 to 4 and verse 7. I'd like to share with you before we take the bread and cup. You say here, and provide for those who grieve in Zion. Those who grieve in Zion, it can refer to Israelites in the captivity. They grieve. They want the Lord to restore them. It also can refer to you and me as a believer, Christians. We grieve the difficult situation. And listen to this promise. This according to NIV version, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Isn't that wonderful? A crown of beauty instead of ashes. I appreciate, Pastor, you can turn on the lights. It's a little bit dark. I want the lights on. In this coming year, all of them, thank you. Yeah. God will bestow on you a crown of beauty instead of ashes. I talk about crown beauty. It's still so dark, right? It can be bright. According to Israelites' custom, when they face something very sad, they put the ashes on their head. Maybe you say, Pastor Joseph, I struggle with that all these years. But this is the year of turning around. If we start with the right attitude, connect with her, she will bestow on you a crown of beauty instead of ashes. The oil of joy instead of mourning. Isn't that wonderful? Oil of joy, anointing of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Isn't that wonderful? Three instead. And then the Lord will call us as the oaks of righteousness. You are oak of righteousness. In other words, you and I, our life will live out God's standard. Planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And then, he promised here, you will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the place long devastated. They will renew the ruined city that have been devastated for generations. Then another instead comes. Instead of your shame, you'll receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. The wonderful? This can be accomplished when we start to connect with Jesus, through connect to His Word, through obey His command with one another, we come together, we learn together. And all this can be done, can be accomplished through Christ's death for you and me. Then we come to the Holy Communion. Jesus died for us 2,000 years ago. Amen. And that mission, the scripture we read just now, is referred to what He promised to come to accomplish. He will preach the good news to the poor. He will set the captives free. He will give us freedom. So now we have the Holy Communion. This Holy Communion reminds who we are. So who are we? We are children of God, right? We are not just one of the children of God. We are precious children of God. Amen? Amen. Okay. Before we take the bread and cup, may we meditate on those scriptures we just read, particularly verse 3, 4, and 7. If you have your cell phone, you can look at. Just meditate a little bit before take the bread and cup. How about that? To see how can that relate to you. This is a very personal time. It's the gift I give to each one of you. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3 and 4, and 7. God has a promise there. He has a replacement there. Irene will play some music for us. Isaiah 61, verse 3 and 3 to 4, and verse 7. by for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of spirit of despair. They'll be called the oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. Father, we thank you for this promise for us in this new year. We thank you for Jesus' redemptive death for each one of us, so we become children of God. Amen. So we can receive this promise by connect with you, by abiding in you through your word, by abiding in you to receive your word with faith. We thank you for the bread. Refer to the broken. You have been broken for each one of us. We thank you for the cup. Refer to the blood being shed for each one of us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. Spirit, may you continue to lead us Holy Communion time as each one of us participate in this bread and cup in remembrance of your death until you return. May you continue to be with us. I invite those who receive Jesus as Savior and the Lord, have been baptized unto his body, to come forward to take this bread and cup. Start from the back and line up from the back one by one. This prayer referred to Jesus' body has been broken for each one of us. Through his brokenness, we can be healed. We can become whole. Let's take this breath with a thankful heart. Blood has been shed for each one of us. Through his blood we can be cleansed. Amen. Our sin can be forgiven. The curse, the power of sin can be broken. Thank you, Jesus. Let's take this cup with thankfulness. Father, we thank you for this first Sunday of 2018. We thank you for your promise. This is a year of turning around. We thank you for your promise in Isaiah 61, verse 3 to 4 and 7. Father, we just pray you lead us, you start to teach us how those replacements can be our. Thank you for today's message. Secret of victory, we have to remain in Christ. Give us that desire. Give us the hunger for that. In Jesus' name.